Welcome back to the Clear Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and Southern Desert. We're starting to get it hot out in west of Phoenix, Arizona. We're talking with James Corbett, as we do on a regular basis, the CorbettReport.com, CorbettReport.com. And we had problems getting in, so we're going to have a short show with you. We get James out on time. But there's a in the short time that we got, let's skip to the end. What's happening in your world as you're noticing all the things that are coming to pass we've been talking about, like yesterday, you know? So go ahead and give us your summary, and I'll share a little bit.
I'd be happy to, but actually, as I was just getting ready for our conversation here, I was just glancing the front page of Freedom's Phoenix to see what's popping in the news wires, and just saw the story about Roger Ver, which I had not seen, hadn't heard about. And you said you were talking to him recently?
Yeah, we just did a show a couple weeks ago. He released the book Hijacking Bitcoin, which I'm sure good reason they don't like it, you know. But he renounced his – he was excited because I think he just came up on his 10 years that he renounced his U.S. citizenship, you know. So he's like, woohoo, I'm free. And they go, oh, yeah, you know. So they arrested him, I think, in Spain. And, of course, U.S. wants to extradite him here and get him for – some tax money. You know, we say you did it wrong. You get some tax money, go with some tax money. And one of the reasons that he left was to avoid the tax money. You know? So I don't know the details of what's going on other than we had a really good conversation. And I think I put it back up on the top of Freedom's Phoenix, the interview. But they got that tar baby on him, man. This is not going to go well for the man. I mean, he definitely will have something to say about it. We'll see what happens. But he's not a U.S. citizen. He doesn't.
They're looking to extradite him so that he can stand trial in the U.S.
That is of interest. There's a lot of cool, you know, little things that will come up from this. And what they did in the first hit piece that I saw on him, they go to a lot of the Bitcoin maximalist guys going, get that some bitch. Yeah. You know, you got to go down, you know.
Which, I'm sure that'll all work out well for you guys. On the state in locking people up. I'm sure that'll work out, right?
Well, you know, what happened was when they had the big run-up in Bitcoin here lately was right about when we did this, and I had Tone Vase, which is a big maximalist. If, you know, Roger comes on, he's got to come on, you know. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, the next time you guys get a big run-up, you know, the transaction fees are going to go up. And you're worthless. I mean, it has to work first. The transaction fees to do a dollar transaction would cost you $230 for a transaction. I mean,
you're not supposed to use it for that. It's a store of value.
Right. Don't you want to go to the restaurant that has a line around the block? I mean, I can't hear all this kind of crap. So I'm going, no, I don't. And I'm done. You know, it's one thing, Bob Anderson's one of his sons has really been on our case, yakking about him having some extra cash, and he's just seeing all the, man, I got to do something. So when I had to buy a truck here, you know, get me a big Ram Cummins 2500, you know, I'm all manly now. And I wanted to pay cash for it. So he was talking about doing, you know, in precious metals and crypto and what I said, it's your lucky day. Okay. So we went through all that. Now he's got all his kids looking for silver dimes and all the rolls.
Yeah.
As he got educated on everything. And so it's been good to have resources outside of the system for when this kind of crap happens, because I'm finding more and more as I do any kind of transaction. You know, we went to auction to buy some equipment and stuff that I needed and everything. It's so ingrained in the banking system, the financial system. Cash, what's that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've been really, the word's not just concerned. It's not worried. It's like saddened, you know, to how far this has gone as we've predicted. Mm-hmm. And we're within a week, 10 days, for us to be on the land and working it. We got a big pile of, we're ready to start transferring everything over. When we do that, one, it's going to be hot. And two, we're going to be at the mercy of And I'm going to have to take care of and protect all my goodies myself, which is fine by me. But you got to be able to leave. So I got to get my surveillance stuff and the fences up. And I can feel the unraveling of society in, you know, what is and is not allowed as acceptable behavior. You know what I mean? And it's just, and we had a sheriff's deputy out a couple of days ago that was out here for a thing. And I was not impressed. I mean, he was a nice kid, you know, he's probably in his mid-30s, just doing his job, but their goal is not protect and serve. You don't do that anymore. It's just be the paperwork guy for the insurance company.
Yep.
You know, and draw the chalk line. You know, you just want the chalk line to be the bad guy, right. Not yours, you know. So, but I wanted to get a little bit, you know, in Asia, what the rhetoric is on China and them buying up all the gold and everything. And then we got, you know.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about economics in Japan, man, the yen is a big topic of concern these days, crashing through record after record of plummeting value compared to the U.S. dollar anyway.
That's sad.
We'll see what kind of interventions the BOJ is going to do and what rigmarole they're going to put through. But honestly, it seems like, you know, what's really funny about this is that for decades, they've been trying to get inflation going in Japan. There's been absolutely no inflation. It's just been completely stagnant. They couldn't even make inflation happen. And now, I think we're going to see some inflation. I think we're starting to see it already. In fact, we definitely have in the past year or so, just regular consumer goods. Suddenly, I've been here 20 years, never really seen any significant price rises. Now, suddenly, everything is rising in price all of a sudden. And people are like, oh, my God, wait, my salary isn't going up that much. What's
Why did it not go up? What caused it to all of a sudden go up now?
They just could not inflate the bubble because they had spent however many bajillions of yen propping up all these zombie banks that kind of sucked up all the liquidity in the banking system. And also the fact that it's such a weirdly sheltered banking system here, in that it's all, most of the debt that the Japanese government has, as people know, it has one of the highest debt to GDP ratio of any government in the world, any developed government in the world, I should say, not, you know, some backwards third world nation or something. But most of that debt is internally owned, and most of that is held by, you know, people buying into the pension system here. The Japanese government pension insurance fund, I think, is the largest pension fund in the world, and all of that kind of stuff. So it's a very internal debt. So I don't know how this is going to unravel. I'm not going to pretend to know what that looks like or how that happens, but something has broken. And who knows what particular people are invested in what ways, because generally these sorts of things are managed at the very least, if not actively planned. But I don't think it redounds to the Japanese government's benefit, because we are starting to finally really feel and see the economic effects of this decades-long stagnation that's happened here. And now, as I say, getting this inflation, and no inflation in salary to speak of, but we're starting to see inflation in prices, that's for sure.
Well, in Japan, I remember zombie banks, it was a thing from the real estate that they were propping up and selling back and forth to each other in the banks and all that kind of stuff from, God, the early 90s or something. I mean, this is a long time ago. And then they do zombie banks for 30 years.
Yeah, basically the bubble popped in about 1990, right? The big Japanese bubble, the crazy bubble days popped, and they didn't let the banks that should have died. They kept them zombieing along and have done for decades. And that's got to be a significant part of the problem here. And then, of course, famously, in the past decade or so, the Japanese government was pushing on a string, couldn't really do, or the Bank of Japan anyway, what's the difference, couldn't really do much. They even went into negative inflation, negative interest territory, but still, they just didn't have any leverage to actually get money flowing through the system because no one was borrowing. So what you gonna do?
Yeah, this is, I'm seeing here, we started having a lot of stories on regional banks here in America are starting to go. And once it starts, it's like a Lehman Brothers thing, man. I mean, once it starts, here we go. Yep. And this is what I was talking about when I'm like in a race. Well, God, it's hot, man. Can't we do this in September? I don't think we got that long. Mm. You know, this is what I'm worried about.
Well, here's the one thing on your side is that the government in power does not want anything to happen before this election, right? It is in Biden and the Democrat right. team's favor that nothing happens to upset his re-election, re-selection, right? So that's the one thing that generally these things are postponed. But then again, the 2008 collapse happened when Obama and McCain were on the campaign trail before this election, right?
So. I saw it. I had the same feeling, you know, why we're so screwed. The coming greatest depression was an article I wrote in July of 2008. And the reason was exactly what's going on now. I'm going, this is not sustainable. And then I found out this DTCC thing and what was going on with Seed Co. and all that. So this great taking thing is a thing. I mean, it's coming. It's a, everybody. It's all buzz now. Everybody's getting it. And I'm going, you feel me? So this is what I think is going to trump everything. It is going to be the just this bail-in crap. They're going to, you think it's your money and it's not. You wrote it down and signed it that way. And I totally agree. Everybody's like, totally agree. We're used to, you know, 27-page terms of agreement documents of iTunes of whatever. I totally agree. I sent iPad. So this is what I think is coming. And I don't know what is the first trigger, but I know it's collapsing banks.
Yeah.
And that's starting.
And this is, in fact, this lines up exactly with what I was talking about. I've been saying this for a few years, and I've said it on this program many times. Short term, it's digital ID, that infrastructure for the whole system. Then in the medium term, it's monetary crisis, CBDC, new forms of currency, some sort of big changeover in world reserve currency, that kind of event, and then hot war. And here we are. We're about halfway through that cycle right now. We're just waiting for the big monetary shoe to drop.
Well, you know, which comes first? The monetary collapse of the dollar or a war? Mushroom clouds or, you know, mushroom clouded dollar.
Use one to obscure the other, whatever.
See, it's just, you know, it's almost like they'll take either one, make either one, not care about either one. Then we got Israel. Okay, give me an Israel thing.
Yeah. All right. What's the latest? I don't know. I haven't, you know, it's interesting. I've heard a lot about
the whole thing.
Well, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're thinking about this. I've heard a lot of that type of reporting in the past few weeks. But basically, since the Iran missile thing, whatever took place there, it's been a lot of kind of holding pattern from what I've seen. Although I was just reading about Netanyahu potentially being charged with war crimes, and apparently he's freaking out about it and leaning on the US and everybody else to make sure that the ICJ can't do that and blah blah blah. I don't know. I'm not holding my breath waiting for that to happen, but some shoe is going to drop there for sure.
You know, one thing a data point that kind of shocked the crap out of me when I first heard it a few months ago, when I think it was Dave Smith was debating somebody on the Israel-Palestine thing, but she was pro-Israel and she was making the point, and I had to verify this, there's only worldwide out of 8 billion people, 15 million Jews, of which over 6 million live in the United States, 6 million live in Israel, and a smattering of every little bit of here and there throughout the rest of the world. And of course, you know, they dominate banking and media and all that kind of crap, but you know, I'm just going, only 15 million? Oh my goodness. And you get so much gravitas, you know, in the media. And I'm like, why? I tell you, James, I made a conscious decision weeks ago. I don't care. I mean, I'll put some, you know, people put articles on Freedom's Phoenix about whatever Netanyahu is doing this time and what they bombed and Iran's doing. I'm just eye bouncing the whole thing. They want my attention and I don't care. And here we went into town and there's billboards up, you know, just pro Jew this and pro Jewish that and pro Israel, whatever the heck. And this person got kidnapped and you got to give us more money. And we got it. I mean, it is a political campaign.
That's interesting. It really is becoming part of the American political thing that's happening right now. I'm sure you've seen all the campus stuff, activism, crazy nonsense that's happening right now. And it's definitely being steered into that left-right paradigm. Like, oh, these leftist Soros-funded Antifa people are taking over the universities because they're on Hamas's side and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's interesting to see that happening. But I'm totally at removed from that culturally over here in Japan.
Well, what is the when the economy starts to go, is it the yen or the dollar that's going to affect Japan more? I mean, is everybody's horse linked up to the dollar?
I mean, yeah, if the dollar goes, that, I mean, there's the entire world monetary system that would be in question, right? So that would affect absolutely everyone. And yeah, looking at it, see, because, I mean, for example, I mean, I'm getting money that's coming in from countries all over the world. So I get to see the exchanges of various currencies and what have you. And it looks like what is happening with the yen being devalued against the dollar is happening to a lot of currencies too. I mean, the Australian dollar is still par-ish with the yen and the Canadian dollar, etc. So it's kind of, it looks to me like the dollar is, relatively speaking, surpassing the other currencies, and the yen just happens to be caught up with that. But I know there's the whole yen dollar trade, which is a special thing in and of itself, the yen carry, the dollar carry, whatever they call it. So I don't know. I don't claim to be an expert on all the intricacies of international monetary system, but I think that clearly the yen very specifically, and basically every other currency, is tied into the dollar system so profoundly that anything that comes along to fundamentally upset that is going to completely change the equation for every country on the planet, including, of course, Japan.
Russia, Iran. When we had this big giant cluster attack of hundreds of going in, yeah, we'll get you. Yeah, Iron Dome, how'd that work out for you? Got most of them, did you? Got any more missiles left?
99%. Well, yeah, and then there's all the stories I'm sure you've seen of the pro-BRICS independent media that are like, yes, this was a wonderful, amazing strike, and it showed they were using their old missiles to test the defenses so they can see what kind of defenses Israel has, and blah blah blah. It was a great success, and whatever. I bounce.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that it did demonstrate is that, yeah, you send up these MIRVs. I mean, these multiple warheads are kind of what they have to use all their Iron Dome. Look, we stopped it. Cost us a gazillion dollars and we don't have any left, but
isn't that the point, right? Of course, everyone benefits from this. The military industrial complex on every side benefits when they do this kind of show, right?
Yeah, well, see, I don't see the this is where I don't care. I just don't care, because you know that you have Iran sends a whole bunch in, Israel blocks a bunch of them, some of them get through. But then the real question is, how much did it cost Iran to send these? How much did it cost Israel to defend against it? How many more, little missiles, drones, and whatever the heck they got from Iran versus how much Iron Dome they got, for Israel? And then if they don't get what they want, they're just going to make the U.S. taxpayers pay for a better system anyway.
Exactly. Right.
So I'm just going,
I mean, you got to use this stuff up so that you can buy more, right?
Yeah. It's gotten to the point that they just want you to look, made you look. And even though I do news and we have stuff on Freedom's Feet, I mean, me personally, yeah. I avoid anything. I get tons from readers and listeners. They make sure I get every little thing on Israel. I mean, it's on both sides. I am deluged with it. And then I just pick, all right, this seems interesting, or maybe this one, and maybe two or three a day. I put, something out of 70 picked entries a day we'll put up on the site. But I am not their cheerleader either way. Why are we messing with this? And we got enough news that's going to blanket our coverage here on just domestic stuff. And we have what's going on at the universities, just more of the same. Who the hell wants to go to college anymore? and then when they send you home, they did it. God, where was it? It was one of the colleges back at whichever one, all of them. They said, we're just closing down the university for the rest of the year. Peace out. Go home. Yeah. And I'm parents. I'm like, give me my freaking money back. This is.
Absolutely.
You're not going to school next year. You're going to community college. You're getting a job.
Imagine if your life had been disrupted by the scamdemic, and now it's being disrupted by this, and you're still going through the system and still jumping through the hoops and still going after that piece of paper that says you're a college graduate. Woo.
Yeah, and you could have started with the pandemic as a freshman, and you're not even out of college yet. Yeah, this happens again.
Exactly. Like, it's just done. Crazy.
Done.
Absolute insanity.
Done, yeah. Done. Well, what is it that's got you? I mean, I ask you this every other week when we talk, and I'm just, you feeling a trigger being pulled? Is there a plan? I got my plan. I am like, I'm just going out desert.
Maybe that's the more important part of this. Yeah, whatever their plan is, do you have a plan? Might be the best question.
Might be
my plan, really, as usual. As we're talking about, the news is this moving target, right? And the trick is to get people firing at the target where it is today so that they will miss it because it's already moving. And they will have no idea where it's going because they're too concentrated on where it already is. So that's a roundabout way of saying I'm trying to think, as I just said, as I've been saying for years, I think digital ID, monetary crisis, hot war, that's my vision for the 2020s, unfortunately. And so I'm trying to aim ahead because I know it's going there. And I'm trying to aim ahead. Because, everyone can see the Israel crisis and that kind of the Middle East war scenario or Ukraine, Russia. I still think the real target is China. I still think that's where this is going. It might take years to get there and it'll involve all of these other pieces of the puzzle. But I think the U.S. China, maybe I'm biased because I'm here in the Asia Pacific, but I think that's where it is. So I'm still thinking in those terms and I'm working on longer term projects that will be aiming in that direction, because by the time I actually finish those longer term projects, it'll probably already be here.
I am thinking, I get the impression it's all distraction and that the real target is the American piggy bank, the American middle class. They've already got everything. Yeah. Now they need to get everybody's pension.
I should contextualize this every time, but I've done it so many times. But yes, absolutely. As I've always said, exactly like the Cold War wasn't about the American democracy fighting against those evil commies Soviets. No, it was a controlled paradigm where, yes, people are playing their parts and a lot of people believed in those parts. But the people who were controlling the decisions that were going on, the transfers of funding and money and armaments and things that were happening behind the scenes, were controlling both sides of that equation, so that they could control their domestic populations first and foremost. And, by the way, military-industrial complex and all the other things it fed into. And that's the exact scenario that I see in what I see as the future U.S.-China conflict. Again, I think it's a stage-managed, controlled thing in which there are forces that are directing and helping and arming and sending finances to both sides in order to gin up the conflict. And it's important to understand that, yes, ultimately we, all of us, everyone presumably listening to this broadcast, is part of the target of this greater war that's happening. And it's not a nation state war. It is a top down war. Oligarchs trying to control the people, right, as always.
Right. It's a top down war. And I think it's this nation state. We've always been at war with
Eurasia.
Humans. You're humans. But I can see this is what the target is. And as I was talking, I just real quick before you go, just so I thought it was so crazy that got me, concerned. Join the auction, Big Richie Brothers, it's a big auction thing you do. You go online, it's a thing. So you go in, all right, well, you got to put down how much you think you're going to spend. You need to have 25%, of deposit, put it on the credit card, kind of do whatever and do it. All right, so do that, go do the thing. Okay, now I got to settle up. Well, I don't want to put it, on the credit card because they want to charge me, 3%, and you're getting up around $20,000. That's like money, So I go, I go to the bank and I said, all right, well, we had this credit card that we paid off and we got a balance on it. Can I do the balance over here? Just put it into the bank account so I don't have to pay their $600 and then I'll pay this off and then I will have, a bunch of charges, and interest. And they go, yeah, but it's 17% the first day to take the money over. And I'm going, what? So that would have been like $3,400.
Yeah.
And then this is the kicker. This is the kicker. They go, per day. And I go, what are you, loan sharks? I go, what? And all I was trying to do is save a $500 fee, And I'm going, No, never mind, man. You know, I'll take care of business. But the idea that they have people, they're going to get in this position where they have to get a, I guess that is a credit card cash advance or something, why they screw you know, whatever it is to put it in something. So I'm like, never freaking mind. But when I got done with my bit, I drove to the bank because it was not too far away. And I said, I want this explained. I want somebody to tell me that it's 17% a day. They go, yeah. And I'm like, who are you people? You know, there, well, it says right here. I go, well, I need to ask a human being that you're just not reading it off of a freaking script that it can't possibly be. That's just not feasible. I was just dumb. So I'm like, never mind. So I said, we came here from Bank of America, get away from this crap. You know, so
Well, that's presumably to stop people from doing that. They're not expecting people to actually do that, right?
I don't know. It just seemed to me I just moved over here and then put, you know, well, I don't know. I was just checking because I didn't want to pay 3%, you know, as opposed to I just did cash. But you
That's
know,
crazy.
it was just I am seeing all the stuff that we've been talking about play out in people's lives as they're at the grocery store line. I don't go grocery shopping that much. Donna does. When I go in, I can see what people are getting. It's Mylar bags and cardboard boxes. I mean, it's just everything processed. It's all corn. There's no vegetables. Vegetables is a fruit roll-up or something. I mean, I was just really, I got a bad feeling. It's been building, and it's like a race, and it's why I'm sucking, you know, embracing the suck, you know, sucking it up and dealing with the summer. And it's still kind of cool at night. It's not real bad yet, but it's gonna be, James. You gotta feel bad for me. But you know, I'm
Embrace
gonna.
the suck. That should be a title for something you're working on.
Well, it's God, I got it. It was from Vietnam movie. You know, they goes, you embrace the suck, you know. And I'm like, that's what I know what that means. So we're embracing the suck. But it's Donna yesterday. But after we had bought this, she always wanted I don't know, like 10, 15 years ago, we helped a friend, you know, move, and it was like a, you know, 1900 mile thing. And we took their diesel pickup and took a load of stuff. And Donna loved that thing. Oh my God, the power going up in the mountain. She always, you know, when, before I die, I'm going to get a diesel pickup, you know. So this was it. Yesterday, after she got that pickup, she is excited about the land. Everything's been kind of, you know, we have to do it. She got that. She's like, ooh, man, I'm all excited. She's happy now, you know? And I'm like, well, make sure it's, you know, it works and it's all good. She goes, don't be negative waves. I mean, she's just all on my butt. So at least now she's all excited, you know, as we go into a billion degree weather.
Happy wife,
But,
happy life.
and it's going to be, we'll have a lot to report by next time. Because it's all been building up, building up, building up. And now it's just pushing all the chips onto our land kind of thing. And we got to, you know, but I know that's when the real battle starts. Because this, what we plan to do and emphasize is exactly what I believe to be the solution. And they definitely don't want that. They do not want people self-sufficient on their own land without their controls
No,
or
you're
in some
right.
municipal thing.
And that's, yeah, what we're talking about. Your plan is more important than their plan.
I
So,
don't care about their plan. Well,
exactly.
thanks for, you know, hanging out and going a little long here. I'm sorry we had times. I think we found out what the problem was. There's some electrical circuit that's not making it to the right place or something. So we'll have the full system up next time. But James, I really get a lot from your videos. I watch and I just feel like I'm much better prepared and more deeply informed, and I use them all the time. And anybody that calls and checks, and that's one thing. People that were explain to the people that your new servers that you came and you lost people, you know, because people were asking me
So when
about
we're
that.
moving the data from our old server onto the new, or it's the same server, but it's a different part of the server, blah, blah, blah. When we're starting the new website, the web developer was like, you have hundreds and hundreds of megs of memory that's devoted to these accounts that are no longer active. You've got to get rid of them at some point. So all of the expired accounts were deleted in one fell swoop, which means that everybody who was expired and had comments up there from 7 years ago or something now go back and, hey, where'd my comment go? Well, it's not like I'm deleting you in particular. I don't know who the individual people are. It's just if you're an expired old member from a decade ago, your comments are gone. So anyway,
yeah, I should have kept up with your payments.
People will, but whatever.
Now, if they were contributing or had, they were.
If you're an active member, all of your information is still there. The old members get deleted. That will happen at some point. So if you're not an active member, you're not a part of the Corbett Report community, which means you're not entitled to the one and only Corbett Report member community function, which is commenting on the articles and things.
I will take a lesson from that. Thank you. Because we're going to have to start focusing on the community part. Hey, yeah. Thanks. You know, we'll be better prepared next time. We had an electrical thing. That's why we had to shorten up the show for James. But it's happening fast. Everything that we've been talking about, the work I've been doing, what we cover on the site, what James does, the focus, the doc. Do people get to have some kind of weight in what you do cover when you get like, you know, 60% of the people screaming, I need a story on? Does that have any influence on you?
I guess it wouldn't have zero influence, but no, I don't let other people determine what I'm going to cover at any point. And I don't think people really want it any other way. I'm going to be fiercely, 100%, totally stubbornly me, and I'm going to talk about whatever I want to talk about at any time I want it, and I'm absolutely not apologetic about that. But yeah, if people suggest something that I think, oh, you know, that's a good idea, then of course.
Yeah. So no,
it could be one person suggesting it and I might do it.
Yeah.
Or
no,
it could
we've
be 1,000 people
things
suggesting it and I might not. I don't know.
That has generated you getting all inspired to do something. I mean, you know, yeah. just
it's got to be inspiration for me. It's got to be something I'm interested in, something I want to cover. Right. Otherwise, why would you want me to cover
it? I'm going
to
be focusing everything on getting off the freaking doing your own building land. I'll be, you know, Green Acres is the place for me. I mean, you know, that's going to be my focus. Because I really truly believe this is the solution, and the more and more people I talk to, and the more that they see it too, especially when they're out rural. So we're going to be kind of focusing on that. James will keep the world in play, and I'm like, you know, taking care of grandkids.
Yep.
Thanks, James. See you
Thank
in a couple
you.
Weeks, man.
Take
Peace.
Care. See you in a couple. Yeah. Bye bye.